about me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Want to take a ride? Call Art Bell from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach Art at 1-775-727-1222. The wildcard line is open at 1-775-727-1295. And to call Art on the toll-free international line, call your AT&T operator and have them dial 800-893-0903.
I watch them go. They're like much more.
Now, that certainly is an understatement, isn't it? Remember, what we're talking about right now isn't that far in the future. It's not science fiction. It's what your children are about to encounter. Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof. The effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH, human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard me talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. Well, according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why I take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to help boost my body's own production of HGH. If your goal is to help improve energy, stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you too. Why let Mother Nature get the best of you? Call today and order Ultimate HGH. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you get the third absolutely free, about $33 a month. Now, that's a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH, a $20 value, absolutely free. So, call my good friends at Great American Products and order Ultimate HGH today at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. As of today, the Super Bajan Radio is back in stock. We have them now for immediate shipment, but I don't know for how long, and I don't know for how long at this price. We just got them. I told you last week we were out. We just got them. So here's the deal. The Bajan Free Play Radio, what is it? It's made in South Africa. It doesn't need power because it makes its own solar panel and crank. Remember, it's got a light. It works on AM, FM, and shortwave, he says. And it's really good on AM. You can use this radio every single day. Or you can just regard it as a last-ditch kind of thing. If the lights go out, well, you grab this radio, and you get light, and you get radio. We've been out of them, and we're going to be out of them again, but we've got them now. And so if you call in the morning, they will, remember, this is the Bayless Clockwork Generator. You turn the crank for 30 seconds, you get 30 minutes of radio and light. So there it is, folks. If you want it, grab them, get them while they're here. Early bird gets the worm, or the Bajan. 6:30 in the morning is when they open in the west, 9:30 back east, at 1-800-522-8863. You want to ask for the Super Bajan Radio that just got in. 800-522-8863. All right, we're about to go to the phones. Joe in Alameda, California says, "Hey, Art, how come I find myself not laughing along?" I know, Joe. I understand exactly how you feel, Joe. I've been sort of chuckling along because you've got to keep us some sort of sense of humor about these kinds of things, but I'm with you all the way. And then I think Jim in Denver asks the question of Mark that we ought to tackle first, then we'll go to the phones. It's simple, and it's blunt, Mark. He says, Mark, I'm an African-American. Does this gentleman truly believe this technology will not be abused?
Will not be what?
Abused. You understand why an African-American might ask that?
I understand why I think anyone would ask that. Anyone who's seen the history of the 20th century should really ask, will this technology be abused? I think that we have to consider very rationally the possibility that it will be abused and prepare for it on that basis. If we don't go in with our eyes wide open, I can paint a very pretty picture with the possibilities, but I can also paint a very ugly one with the downside.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we need to keep both of those points of view in our sights at all times as we move into the 21st century. If we don't, then yes, the potential for abuse will overcome our ability, will overcome our sense of what to do about it.
Most Americans, Mark, think of what we're talking about right now as they think of a science fiction movie, you know, something that, while we might imagine, but, you know, isn't really ever going to happen. The problem with this is it's not science fiction, and it's happening already, right?
You could have said the same thing about cloning just 2 years ago.
Yes, I know. Well, we did.
We did. And now it's likely that a human being is being cloned somewhere.
Indeed.
And so we now are faced with all of the ethical issues that come from that. And this, we have a little bit more lead time. We have at least a good 5 years, probably a good 10 years, before we really have to be able to say, this is how we're going to approach this problem.
Yeah, but in terms of observed human social evolution, 5 or 10 years, well, I just don't know, Mark. Anyway, listen, we've got a lot of phone calls, and so let us begin. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hi.
Hey, Art, this is Rob, listening to you in Minneapolis on KSTP 1500.
Yeah, that's the way to do it. Thank you.
The wavelength. And I have a brief comment before I ask Mark a question.
Yeah, sure.
The seasons are reversed in Minnesota, in central Minnesota here. It's supposed to be spring, but it's pretty much fall here.
Yeah, we know what's happening all over the nation, not just there.
Just a note on the weather changes. You know, it's we're feeling it up here.
Yeah, it's obvious everywhere. Anyway, do you have a question?
My question was, in terms of, like, nanotechnology and, I don't know, using Mark talked about the Mark, you talked about the crystal ball and using that to have, you know, whatever the experience, like video game type experiences, and you talked about the hologram room using nanotechnology. How much energy would a like hologram room like that use?
Well, that's a really, really, really good question. Energy
would it be similar to like Los Angeles, or would it be more like you know, Nintendo or what?
Yeah, how much power consumption would you imagine being used in something to create eventually a holodeck, let's say?
Well, one of the advantages of nanotechnology is that it works on such a micro level that you can effectively sort of optimize all of the energy usage. And in fact, in nanotechnology, it's important to do that. One of the technical stumbling blocks that people are working through now is how you can create something that's working very quickly at such a small level and doesn't burn itself up in the process. But if you take a look at biology, human beings are very flexible. We move relatively quickly, and all sorts of things from bacteria up to elephants do so. And so there's probably a lot of lessons we'll learn from nature about how to effectively use energy in a conservative way. Now, a human being uses about as much energy as a 120-watt light bulb at any given point in time. So if you're thinking about building an environment, you can probably use that as a convenient multiple.
We're equivalent to a 120-watt
light bulb in terms of the amount of energy we use.
Well, at least we're fairly bright. Yeah, I have to laugh sometimes. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hello.
Hi, Art. This is Kathy from Woodbridge, New Jersey.
Hello, Kathy.
And, yeah, I wonder if we're the long-lasting light bulbs or the old Phillips. Yeah, right. Listen, I'm going into the not-so-distant future, and I'm going to ask you something about the future of computers as if they could be the mother and fathers of children born either here because we screwed up, sowing the seeds of life on a new planet, being the guardians on a new planet. You get my drift? In the future,
oh, yeah,
we may mess up so bad down here that we have to program a computer to literally plant the seeds of life and then nurture them and watch them.
Huh.
And I'll end it with this. Guys, once in a while, just catch the PBS and watch the Teletubbies and tell me why these four little things are watched by a computer and never have any parents around them.
All right. That's a lot to tackle. Mark?
If we were going to do some sort of Genesis project, I suppose is the best name for it, of replanting a Garden of Eden somewhere else, and if there were a computer that we were responsible for bringing human beings into maturity, you would have to be sure that this computer had been raised itself by human beings, because there's a human transmission of values that would be necessary from the humans to the computer to the children. And if you break that continuity, essentially what you're doing is you're breaking what makes us human. And so in that sense, you'd have to make a decision, if you were embarking on a project like this, whether you wanted those children to be the offspring, the philosophical offspring, the psychological offspring of a purely rational intellect, or whether you really wanted it to be a much broader, more human intellect.
Wouldn't a purely rational intellect be frightening for humans, dangerous for humans?
I think it would. I think that it would be given to making decisions that we would not normally be given to make ethically, morally. I think that this is the issue that...
It would have its own set of ethics and morals. It would have ethics and morals, but it's its own.
It would be its own, and they would be alien to us because they wouldn't be influenced by the concerns that we would normally think of as being human concerns.
Huh. So it might make decisions that we couldn't possibly understand. Like, for example, if it were running the justice system right now, it might, the very first time a child is brought in who's been fooling around with marijuana, it might decide to euthanize that child on the spot.
Right. It would be capable of justice, but no mercy. And human beings tend to temper all of their justice and all of their actions
with mercy.
With mercy.
But perhaps not most effectively so.
Well, it's a question of what you're considering effective. If you're considering effective in a purely sort of rational frame, then perhaps you're right. But human beings, again, don't think in a purely rational frame. We think in a much broader frame than that.
Well, then we better be careful what we create. West of the Rockies, you're on there with Mark Pesci. Hello.
Yes, this is Jim in L.A., 640 KFI area.
That's the way. I love people doing promos for their radio stations. Everybody do it. All right, go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Oh, good to have you back, Art. Mark, I was wondering, I was at Disneyland with my wife, well, this is back in the early 70s, and at their, I guess they call it the Haunted Castle, where they have these holograms or whatever you call them.
Yes.
And on the exit, they had one that was in a bell jar, oh, maybe 20 inches or 2 foot high, with a woman in it. And she was in 3D, actual 3D. I mean, you could see her arms moving and all this stuff. Somehow they projected it in there. And I was just wondering, how the heck did they do that anyway?
That's actually almost like a magician. It's all done with mirrors. That's a parabolic mirror, so it's a curved mirror,
really?
And the image is projected onto the mirror, but because of the way the light reflects back from the mirror, it resolves into an image that's in front of the mirror, so it looks as though the image is solid.
Wow.
I'll be darned. But I was just curious if they, you know, like, they have to have glasses, I guess, for 3D on television. If they came out with something like that with the games, holy mackerel.
Yes, there's a good question. What would... I think I already know the answer, but what would the movies or the television of tomorrow be in a nanotechnological world? I think I know the answer.
Well, I think that what you're talking about is not piping a program in, but piping a reality in.
Yeah.
So you're literally, out of the cable is coming the instructions to redesign the environment that you're in the midst of around whatever drama is going to take place there, and whether that's a drama that you sit and watch as a member of the audience or you participate in.
Mark, you know, even with Turn Off Your TV Week underway right now, word is that we watch, on average, about 4 or 5 hours of television. You know, the old two-dimensional, yes, nice color, but two-dimensional TV now. We watch 5 hours, Mark, in that future that you're describing, not all that far distant. How are you going to ever, I mean, you know, once they've been to Paris and all that, how are you ever going to get them back?
Well, let me give you another example. I don't know if you've heard of a new game that's coming out called Majestic.
It's interesting that you would mention the new game Majestic, because I understand that they have woven my name into it somehow.
Majestic was described by the president of Electronic Arts, who is creating the game, as a cross between CNN and the X-Files.
Yes.
When you sign up for the game, you go onto the web, and you give it all of your contact points. You give it your phone, your fax, your email, your cell phone, and you give it the hours it can call you and annoy you.
And annoy you?
And involve you in the game and call you and tell you that there's a character that's in jeopardy and you have to go do this thing right now. You have to solve this mystery. You have to find the pieces of the vast conspiracy that are swirling around you. So already, without the projection technology, we're finding that the next generation of games, and this isn't really even a PlayStation game, this is almost a game that starts to confuse the real world with the world of the game. So this is now a coming trend. It's expected that this game is going to be wildly popular because it really involves you in a world that's right next door and yet completely in your living room.
Isn't this like the next logical step to fantasy football or baseball or whatever it is that people get so involved in?
Absolutely, and it will appeal to the people who really love the X-Files or Millennium or shows like this, or people who listen to Art Bell.
Yeah, my audience. I heard from the people who were constructing this, whatever you call it, game, Majestic, and they are using my name somewhere in it, and I guess I was honored. I guess I'm honored.
I think you should be. I think it's going to be very interesting, and this is, again, the future of entertainment. It's not just something that you sit and watch passively, although I think that'll still exist. People will still make movies as we think of them, or TV as we think of it, where you sit and watch a drama or a performance or a comedy.
Yeah.
But there will also be these other more subtle forms of games where you are literally taken in and you use the best virtual reality machine we have, which is between your ears.
But how are people going to break away from this? How will this not be an irresistible narcotic that will make television look like kid stuff?
500 years ago, Art, all across Europe, theologians, priests, preachers decried a new narcotic that had come out and was destroying the best minds in Europe. Do you know what it was?
Mm-hmm.
The novel.
The novel?
The novel.
The
I mean, you take a look at Don Quixote. Don Quixote, the plot of Don Quixote is that Don Quixote has read so many romance novels, he's gone mad. And he starts to act out on all of these novels that he's read, and it was a popular theory in the day that reading all of these books was going to drive you crazy. So I think that we see over and over that these new ways of telling stories coming into our lives, and we make room for them. The same way we don't think twice when someone says, oh, I was up all night because I was reading a really good book. And yet at the same time, you'd have to say, wow, that person is addicted to reading this book. That's how good this book was. It was a narcotic. And I think that's how we'll think about Majestic.
But taking leaps ahead, not too Majestic, but farther ahead, why wouldn't a government which is concerned with productivity, and I'm convinced that's one of the main reasons that we have drug laws right now, Mark, that we do, and the drug war and all the rest of it, is because they consider drugs to be a war on productivity. So, or a threat to productivity, and so that we have the war on drugs. Why wouldn't we have the war on nanotechnological entertainment for exactly the same reason, class it a dangerous narcotic?
Well, I think that nanotechnology is going to upend the whole argument about productivity, because when you can literally fabricate anything that you need on demand, about the only activity of civilization will be the design of those things that can be fabricated on demand.
Yeah, all right, but then what about Zager and Evans, 25-25, you know, our arms hanging useless by our side, right?
I don't know that our arms will be hanging useless by our sides. I don't think that's the case. I just think that the emphasis on what constitutes productivity in the material world is going to move more, I think, into a design sense, that what's going to be important are the things that we can design and play with rather than the things that we actually fabricate.
All right. First time caller line, you're on the air with Mark Pesce. Hello.
Yeah, I've got a couple questions for Mark.
Oh, go ahead.
One is, what would be some good effects of this new nanotechnology?
Right.
And my other is, what kind of benefits will we get for our human society?
Well, I think one of the things that nanotechnology can promise us is freedom from want. That you can, in fact, go to a place where the population is starving, throw nanites out on the ground, and have them produce food just from raw soil. And it wouldn't matter whether there's a drought or whether there's a flood or anything like that, that you can actually remove human need at a fundamental level by using these machines. I think the second benefit is going to be in medical technology, that we will be able to both observe the human body in incredible detail.
Mark?
Yes.
Quick question. Unless we can make it real expensive, then what would that do to our economy? And I mean the world economy, not just ours.
And that's exactly the point. I think that we're going to see this transition away from the value of the material world. Right now, money and value are based on scarcity.
We have wars over this.
Because they're wars of scarcity.
We have wars over this. What do you think we went to war with, almost went to war with Russia over, and may yet go to war with China over? It's materialism versus the greater common good. That's what we go to war about, right?
Absolutely. But if we've removed the sort of focus of materialism, if we've taken that out of play, then it becomes, in a sense, of war of creativity. And to bring us back to the Grey Goo versus the anti-Grey Goo, the virus versus antivirus scenario, that's a war of creativity, of design, not a war of materiel.
But that would require an entire shift from an economy based on consumption or materialism.
On materialism, not on consumption, because we will still be consuming things, but we'll be consuming designs rather than actual products.
Designs. We'll be consuming designs. That's an interesting concept. So then everything we know about, money and the way everything is all of that is going to change, isn't it?
I believe so, yes.
Yes. That's no minor change. All right. Bottom of the hour. I'm going to try much harder to be good and get to the phones. Oh, there goes the international line. Don't forget the international line. 800-893-0903. She's got something to prove my soul, and she knows.